If you haven't been with us today, we're in the middle of a message series. I was looking at my job here of doing picking out a tablecloth. It's really wrinkly. You can tell a man's in charge. And this is what, ladies, I want you to know, when men are in charge, it's all going to be wrinkled. I just want you to know that. So, but if this is your first time with us, we're doing a series called First Things First. And let me do a quick review because I don't want anyone to miss this. I'm not going to do all the things I usually do. But this is a jar, as you can tell. And there's a story that goes about a man that was doing one of those seminars on time management, stuff like that. Anyway, he took a jar like this, and he had a bunch of rocks up on stage that were about this size, and he began to fill the jar with these rocks. And when the jar was full of the rocks, he asked the class, he says, is the jar full? And they all said, yes, it's full. He said, no, you're wrong, it's not full. And he got little pebble-sized rocks, began to fill the jar with those rocks, and shake it around, and all filled up the jar. He said, is the jar full? And they all said, no, it's not. At least we don't think so. He said, you're right. And he got out sand, and he began to fill the jar with sand, shaking it in there until the jar was full of sand. And he asked, is the jar full? And the class, they were starting to catch on, said, no, it's not full. And he said, you're right. And he got out a pitcher of water, filled the jar with water. And then he said, is the jar full? And they said, yes, it is full. And so he asked, you know, what's the lesson? What did we learn from this illustration? And one of the really smart business type ladies in the front said, oh, I know. And she said, you can always work and cram and get more into the jar. And he said, no, you're wrong. He said, this is what this lesson teaches us. If the big rocks don't go in first, they don't go in at all. They don't fit. So the whole idea behind this series is getting the big rocks into our life first. All of you sitting here this morning, sorry to say this, but you're all a culmination of the big rocks that you're choosing to put into your life. And what I want to help you do as we get started on a new year, and all of us want to make changes, hopefully changes for the kingdom of God, I want to help you get a really, really important rock in first. And that's what we've been talking about each week is this. Jesus said that if we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then all the other things will be given to us as well. And that's the verse I've asked you to memorize as we go through this whole series. It's Matthew 6:33. I actually kind of misquoted it. Jesus says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So what we're trying to do as we go through this series is help you get the big rock, which is the kingdom of God, into your jar first. Now that verse can be kind of confusing because, you know, what's the kingdom of God and how does that all work out? Let me explain that to you real quick. When I was a kid, I thought the kingdom of God was like heaven. Or I thought maybe it was the church. But as I've grown and as I've studied God's word and I study what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is huge. It's bigger than what we can ever imagine. What the kingdom of God is anyone who believes in the one true living God and believes in Jesus Christ, you are part of the kingdom of God. And what you are supposed to do here on earth is you're supposed to represent the kingdom of God. It's kind of like, for those of you who are fans of specific football teams, or maybe you represent City High or West High or University High, you represent, you wear their colors, you live, and you breathe as a fan, as a supporter of that school, of that team, you represent. And if you are to put the kingdom of God rock in first, then you represent the kingdom. Just this week, I was reminded in reading Jesus' words that the kingdom of God is in you. So wherever you go, whether it's to work, whether it's at home, you are the kingdom of God. And what you're supposed to do is live out the purposes of the kingdom. What are the purposes of the kingdom? Well, things like love, grace, forgiveness, telling people about Jesus, about ministry, about service. We're to live out the purposes of the kingdom of God. And next week, we're going to spend a whole morning, we're going to talk about that. But not only do we live out the purposes, we live out the character. We live out what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so we live in a particular way. We are to live righteous lives. We're not to pursue sin. We're not to pursue evil or wrongdoing. Instead, we're supposed to pursue righteousness. And so if we're going to put the kingdom of God rock in first, those are the things that we want to live out. Live out the purposes, live out the characteristics. But here's the best part and the cool part that we don't talk about very much. Jesus says that if you put the big rock in first, the kingdom of God, that all the things that you worry about, and that's what he's talking about in chapter 6, verse 33, that whole area, he's saying all the things that you worry about, He's going to take care of. And the things that you worry about are things like what you're going to wear, your food, your house, stuff like that. He said, I'm going to take care of that. If you put the big rock of the kingdom of God in first, I'm going to take care of all the other details. That's what this whole message series is about, is helping you and me get that big rock of the kingdom of God into our lives first. Then all the other rocks, everything else, tends to fall into place. Now last week, we took the first step in getting that big rock in first, and I talked a whole lot about what Jesus said about how to do that. And Jesus said the most important thing you need to do, and this was in Matthew 13. Actually, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 13. We're going to hang out there for a while today as well. But I talked about the parable of the sower. And in Matthew 13, he said that if you listen to the word of God and understand it and do what it says, then that is how you were fruitful, or that's how you live out the purposes of the kingdom. And so what I challenge each of you to do is this. Surround yourself, immerse yourself in the word of God. That is the first step to reorganizing, shifting your life around so you get the big rock in first. I said, listen to, read your Bible, first of all. Listen to sermons, get to church, get to classes. Immerse yourself in God's word so that begins to penetrate, begins to change you. The most important thing that you can do to get the big rock in first is to know what God's word has to say. Today, we're going to take the next step, and we're going to talk about another parable that Jesus talked about, and it's also there in Matthew 13. Before I do that, though, I want to give you a little verbal illustration here. That's why I didn't do my rock thing like I normally do, because I have a different one for you. That's one thing to listen to God's word, you know, and kind of understand, but there has to be some actual movement and changes in our life if we're going to get the big rock in first. Let me explain. For a typical person, and I don't know if you consider yourself typical or not. I don't know. I'm kind of weird, so I don't know if I'm typical either. But the truth of the matter is, for a lot of people, you wake up in the morning and what happens? You just kind of roll out of bed. First thing you do, you kind of, oh man, I'm late for work. And so already, right away, you flip on the radio and you're trying to scramble to get things done. And already your day has begun with, not a rock, but scramble, junk, just daily brushing your teeth, getting that stuff done. And already you have this much sand because you're late for work. Don't get a good breakfast in. And then you get to work, okay? And we'll call that maybe a decent sized rock. How's that sound? We get that in there. But already we're behind the eight ball because we're scrambling trying to get things done. And we get to work and we get distracted because there's this really cool solitaire game on your computer. So you start playing that. Do you buy some things on the internet? But then all of a sudden what happens? You're behind on your work, right? You're behind. So you're throwing a pebble or two trying to catch up, you know, but you're behind. And so you cram in a lunch. And then you decide to go home and you get home. And what do you do when you get home? Throw pizza in the oven, right? I mean, this is just typical. I mean, I'm just guessing at stuff. I don't know what your life looks like. But you throw a pizza in the oven, and what do you do? Turn on the TV. Oh, what's going on? Check your email. What's going on Facebook? And before you know it, you got all this. What in your life? All kind of sand. Oh, yeah. Sunday is coming up, and I'm going to go to church on Sunday because that's a cool thing to do. Boom. And then that's your day. And for a lot of people, man, that is just their life. They have all this just menial junk stuff going on. Now, some of it's important because you got to, you know, eat, got to go to the bathroom, stuff like that. But the rest of the stuff, it just kind of happens to fill in the top or wherever you can cram it in. And so if we're ever going to get the kingdom rock in where it needs to be, what do we have to do? We got to get rid of some stuff, don't we? Got to get some stuff out of there. We're going to talk about that. But first, I'm going to let Jesus do it because he's the big heavy hitter, not me. So if you're still in Matthew 13, I want you to look at one of the parables. Last week we did the parable of the sower. We're just going to move a little bit farther ahead. This is a great section. It's a whole sermon on parables. It's pretty cool. But Matthew 13, he continues with another parable called the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. One of the phrases that Jesus uses throughout these parables is this phrase he repeats again and again. It's this: the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, if you ever read those words, pay attention. Underline it. Listen to what he's going to say, because what he's doing is he's painting a picture about what the kingdom of God looks like. And here, he's going to kind of cue us in on what to look for when it starts talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Just so you know, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they're interchangeable. There's a reason why that is. Won't go into detail as to why. But the people that Matthew was writing to, they didn't like to talk about God. So he replaced God with heaven. They were afraid they'd misuse God's word or God's name. So he used kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, it's interchangeable. Okay? So here we go. Verse 44 of chapter Matthew 13. Jesus says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Two different parables, two different little scenarios. The first one is a man just kind of do-do-do-do-do walking through a field, walking through some land, and he happens upon a treasure. Ooh, I like this. He picks it up, looks at it, and this is a pretty awesome treasure. He rehides it, and then he goes home, and he finds all that he has, and he sells it just so he can buy the property that this treasure is on. Let me tell you what's going on here. Back in first century Israel, they didn't have banks like what we have. And so the rich people were able to kind of build a mini fortress to protect their treasures. But for average people like you and I, you had to go out and hide your treasure. So literally they would hide it. They would dig a hole in their house, underneath their mattress. They'd go out on their land, and they would literally have to hide their treasure. And so, as would be assumed, sometimes people would maybe die, something would happen, and people would forget about the treasure. And so this guy, he's not even looking for treasure. He's just out for a walk, and he comes upon this treasure, and he has to have it. Is that valuable to him? So he sells everything he has and buys it. Gives you an idea how valuable this treasure is. Now, we don't know what it is. Jesus just calls it a treasure. But it's so impressive to this man that he has to sell all of his possessions just so that he can have it. Now, the next guy is a little bit different. He's a merchant. He's a guy that deals in pearls, and he actually is looking for a great pearl. He probably makes jewelry, something like that. He wants to get the best pearl that he can find so that he can sell it and make a huge profit. In his searching, he comes across an awesome pearl. Such a great pearl that he, likewise, goes home, sells his business, sells all of his other pearls, just so that he can buy this one pearl. Pretty cool. But what we learn from this is that Jesus says, when you find something that's of great worth, in this case, it's the kingdom, you sell everything that you have just so you can possess it. Now, we think this is kind of crazy, but you know we all do this. Ladies, you're out shopping. I said, ooh, that is one nice pair of shoes. I must have those shoes. But look at the cost. I don't care that those shoes match this one outfit. I must have it. And so you pull out the credit card, cha-ching. You sold all your possessions just to have a pair of shoes. We do this. And not to be outdone, ladies, guys, we're the same way. Whether it's that one tool we've been looking for. I know a guy that he came to Iowa and he found a golf club that he really, really wanted. He's like, oh man, I want this golf club and I'm going to buy it. It's a friend of mine. He bought the golf club and I said, but you don't have money for it. I need this golf club. And so he gave up everything that he had with him in his pocket for the trip just so that he could have a golf club. So that's the point, is we all do this. When we find something that we have to have, we're willing to part with even stuff we don't have, which, credit, just so that we can have or possess this item. Jesus says this is like the kingdom of God, in that when you discover the kingdom of God, see what it is, know what it is, you're willing to part with everything and anything just so you can possess it. It's kind of a paradox, because the kingdom of God is free. You don't have to pony up money for it. You don't have to be a particular person to have it. You don't have to be cool. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be holy. It's given to everyone, no matter who you are, what you've done. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus says that even though it's given free to everyone, it costs you everything. It's a pretty powerful statement. It's a pretty powerful teaching. That to possess the kingdom of God, it costs you everything. And so that is where we get to our jar. How are we going to get the big rock of the kingdom in first? What are we going to have to do? sounds like we're going to have to start getting stuff out of that jar, aren't we? If we want to get the big rock of the kingdom in first, something's got to go. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. We're going to figure out what needs to go in your life. Now, as much as I'd love to delve into your life and tell you what needs to go, and I know Jesus would like to, you know, get involved in that process too, ultimately, it's your call. I can't tell you. Jesus, he's going to try to tell you, but ultimately, you have to figure out what in your life needs to go so that the kingdom of God rock can go on first. So what I want you to do is clean your mind's eye, clean it off, make it a blank slate, and as we go through this, the rest of this teaching time, I want you to write on your mind, figure out the one, two, or maybe three things that needs to go in your life so that you can possess the kingdom of God, that you can put it in first into your jar. Are you with me? Okay. So what we're going to do this, let me move quick here, is we're going to take Jesus' words, because Jesus actually helps us do this process, okay? So the first one is, we're going to hang out in Matthew here a little bit. Turn over a couple pages if you have your Bibles. Matthew 17. And if you're doing the scripture up on the screen there, Josh, it's Matthew 16, and I'm going to start with verse 24. Listen to what Jesus says about the first way, first step you need to take to be able to get the big rock in first, what you need to take out of your life. Jesus says this in verse 24. He said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." Now, isn't that ultimately what we're trying to do? We're trying to find it. We're trying to find the right formula for getting the kingdom in. So what Jesus is saying is, if you want to get your life in order, you can't do it yourself. And that's ultimately what a lot of us do. We try to make our life this picture-perfect life. And maybe it's just the stereotypical American, because we grew up and we think we have to have such things, and we have to get married at such and such an age, and have to have a relationship, and have to have such and such a job, and make such and such money. Because we get tied into this idea that we have to order and pattern our own lives if we're going to make it work. So what Jesus is saying is, if you could pursue your own pattern for making your life, then you're going to lose it. You're not going to find what you're looking for. But what he says is, if you're willing to give up everything, then you're going to be able to find it. Now, not just give up anything for anything's sake, but to give up everything so that you can, what? So you can follow Jesus. And so I need to start with this morning, is that if you want to honestly and purely pursue the kingdom and put that rock in first, for some of you this morning, you need to give up everything. Some of you need to give up everything. Does that mean you need to sell everything and give it to the church? No, no. What it means is this. You need to be willing to part with it if Jesus needs it, or if it's holding you back from Jesus. Because to know Jesus Christ means that we surrender everything, and that we don't find meaning and purpose in anything else but in Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to give up anything. I'm speaking specifically this morning to those of you who've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because there's this step, there's this bridge that has to be crossed over to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And what that is complete and utter surrender. That I don't know what's best for my life. That I don't know the things that I need to do. I totally am dependent upon you, Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you sincerely want to follow Jesus Christ, you got to give up everything. It needs to go by the wayside. That means relationships. Boy, there's a lot of times that people in our lives can influence us through relationships. Boyfriend, girlfriend, a coworker, maybe a boss, maybe just a friend that we've had for a long time. Maybe it's even someone in your own family that has influenced you. Sometimes you need to just be willing to walk away, to surrender those things. But maybe more importantly is this. I fear that in our culture, in the United States of America, Christianity or religion had just become another part of the pie. Meaning that we have all these things that we try to put into our lives. We try to be these well-rounded people. And so we try to have a good job, a nice family. We try to be in Boy Scouts. We try to volunteer at different places. And we try to do all these right things. And so what we've done is we've ordered this life that looks nice, that looks good on the outside, because we're very well-rounded. And see, we have our church is in there, you know, and our time serving Jesus is in there. But it's just another piece of pie. And what Jesus is saying, I just don't want to be a piece of pie. I just don't want to be one of the rocks that's thrown in there. See, I go to church. I'm a good person. No, no. He wants to be the only rock in your jar. And that's one of the issues that you're going to have to deal with, is am I willing to take everything out of my jar and allow Jesus to be the only rock in my jar? Back when Susie and I were living in Quincy, Illinois, we were doing youth ministry. In Quincy, every year they had a big skydiving fest. And this is about the time when it was really cool to jump out of airplanes with snowboards on your feet. I don't know if you remember that, mid-90s. That was just like the coolest thing. Everyone thought they'd do it, and every commercial had a snowboard skydiver in it. It was just weird. But it was really new and kind of popular. And so at this skydive fest there in Quincy, a guy that was a photographer was coming in to shoot some footage of all these skydivers jumping out of these airplanes. And this guy was a big-time professional, had logged over 800 jumps in his life. And so he was excited to shoot this footage and make this documentary. And so he gets up in the plane, jumps out of the airplane with all of his gear and everything, and he dies because he forgets to put on his parachute. It's a dude that has logged 800 jumps. But what had he done? He had been so focused on getting his gear, getting his cameras, getting all the things that he sincerely needed to shoot this footage, that he forgot the most important rock that he needed to have. And that was his parachute. Now, I'm not making light of the situation. I'm just trying to make a crossover point to our lives, in that we can put all kinds of cool things in our life, be really well-rounded, nice citizens, you know, and really represent our community and who we are and our family. But if you don't put the most important rock in first, the rest doesn't matter. Okay? So this morning, if you've never taken a step to put Jesus Christ first in your life, I would challenge you to give up everything. Sell everything. Be willing to surrender everything for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. Okay? So the first way to get the rock in first, you may have to give up everything. All right. Now, for those of you who are already Christians, who've made that step to surrender your life, there are still some things that can hang around our lives. Some other rocks that can take the place of the rock of the kingdom of God. If you have your Bible still, I want you to just turn up to the next book. Is Mark. If you turn to Mark chapter 13, Jesus is on the last week of his life, and he's speaking to his disciples about some things that are going to happen once he leaves. I'm going to pick it up in Mark 13 and verse 5. Jesus says to his disciples, Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many." So what Jesus is saying is, when I leave, guys, okay, you need to pay attention. When I leave, I've been with you. I've been that rock right by your side. When I leave, there's going to be others that are going to come in, and they're going to try to deceive you. Now, here's the truth that you need to hold on to. If we're going to try to get that big rock in first, the truth of the matter is, for you who are Christians, you have other rocks that hang around that are deceivers, that want to shift, that want to shift those rocks and reprioritize your life. And what you need to do is get the deceivers out of your life. What are the deceivers? I mentioned a few of them already. Some of them are people in your life. Again, going back to friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, co-workers. You have people in your life that are deceivers. And the idea is that in having a relationship with them, they're going to deceive you and trick you. Maybe not intentionally. Maybe that's not their agenda. But the idea is, when you allow their life, their lifestyle, to influence you as opposed to you influencing them, they become a deceiver and they begin to reprioritize the rocks in your jar. We can't let that happen. Okay, one of the things that you need to do is what we talked about last week, is read God's Word. Keep in God's Word so that you know the truth and you can begin to visualize and understand who are the deceivers in your life that are stealing the rocks and reprioritizing them. And another thing is another deceiver is just some of the things that we allow to hang around our lives. Okay, a big one is like things like TV, movies, music, the things that we read. Those are huge, huge influencers because a lot of them come from our culture. And our culture doesn't necessarily embrace Christianity. In fact, and a lot of times it rejects Christianity. So what you need to do is just don't mindlessly go through your day flipping on TV, watching different shows, reading whatever book you want, listening to whatever you think is good. You really need to guard the things that go into your life because any kind of truth or any kind of deception that comes into your life will affect where the kingdom rock falls into your life. Again, you need to go back to God's Word and be very conscientious about the things you listen to, that you read, that you hang around, because it can be a deceiver and wreck the order of the rocks that you have in your jar. Okay? One more. And I really hesitate to do this one, honestly. I do. But Jesus talked about it, so we got to talk about it, right? Jesus said it, so we got to deal with it. Go over one more book to Luke. And this is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Jesus has gone to visit some of his best friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, we often know the story about Lazarus dying and come back to life, where Jesus resurrected him. But in this particular story, it's one of the first times that Jesus has gone to Mary, Martha's house. And so this is Luke chapter 10. And I want you to listen to what happens. This is starting with verse 38, Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Yes, it is true. There are good things in your life that you need to take out of your jar. That's why I hesitate to even say this, because all of a sudden, you know, for some of you, it's an excuse not to do anything. So I hesitate in saying this, but we need to talk about it. There are a lot of good things that you can do that can take away from the most important thing. For Mary, you know, is it a good thing that Martha was preparing and laying out this great spread for Jesus? Yeah, ministry, serving the Lord, those are great things. But Jesus identified that Mary had caught what was most important. I'm sure Mary was just sitting there thinking, "Oh, we'll just order Chinese takeout, you know." Because in the first century, there's Chinese restaurants everywhere. I mean, it's just reality. They're everywhere. But Mary's just thinking, you know, we'll order out and it'll be taken care of. I want to listen to Jesus. I want to listen to Jesus. And Jesus said, well, that's the most important thing. So my fear is, for some of you, you're out to save the world. You're out to meet every need, every clipboard that comes around. You sign up to volunteer. You're there to do it. You're doing it. And maybe your motives are even good. However, it's hard to serve the Lord when you haven't spent time with Him first. Even Jesus identified that. His whole ministry was powerful and was about giving and giving and giving. But it never stole from His time with the Lord. Now for some of you, you need to step back from your life and saying, okay, I can justify doing a lot of good things, whether it's ministries, volunteering, and helping, but is it stealing time from my Lord? Is it stealing time from my family? Is it stealing time from my kids, my husband, my wife? The most important rocks that go into your jar are the Lord and those relationships that you're in covenant with, whether it's your husband, wife, your kids, okay? Any good activities that steal from those need to go. They need to go because you're not putting the most important rocks in first. All right? So, what's it going to be? Do you have a name? Do you have an activity? Do you have something that needs to go? What is it going to be? What is it that has to go? Because if you want to put the kingdom of rock, God, or the kingdom of God rock in first, something has to go. I don't care who you are, something has to go. Let me wrap up with this. I don't know if you've ever read, I might be speaking to guys primarily here, but maybe some of you ladies have read the book, Where the Red Fern Grows. Great book. I mean, it's the only book that guys cry to. I mean, seriously. I remember in class, our teacher read it to us, and at the end, you know, all the boys had our head down on the desk because we were crying, you know. It was just one of those heartbreaking books. It's a really good story. But in that book, there's this, one of the guys describes how to catch a raccoon. And I don't know if you've read this, you remember this, but he says you find a hole in a log, or maybe you drill a hole into a log, and you take little nails, and you nail them in around the edge of that hole in at an angle. And then you put a real shiny piece of metal, or a shiny stone, or shiny something at the bottom of that hole, because what will happen is the coon will come walking out by the river, it'll look in that hole looking for food, it'll see the shiny object in there, reach its hand in there, and make a fist, and as it pulls its hand out, it'll get caught in the nails. And that coon will just stay there and stay there and stay there because it won't let go of that shiny little object because it just has to know what that shiny object is. And that is how you catch a raccoon. Now, I've never tried that. I probably need to just text or just make sure this works. We do have coons in our neighborhood, so I could try it. But the point is this. I mean, you're probably tracking where I'm going with this. You have to let go of something. Otherwise, you're going to be set hanging, and you're going to lose your life because you're so resistant to letting go. Letting go and putting the most important things in your life first. So what is it? What is it that has to go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that these words, which they're not my words, they're yours. You put all this together. I pray that they wouldn't leave our minds, that as we get ready to embrace a new week and get busy with lots of stuff, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to teach us the things that need to go. And you've told some of us exactly what needs to go. And I pray we would have the courage to let go and to put you first. Father, if there's anyone here that's never embraced you and embraced your Son, Jesus Christ, and entered into the kingdom, I pray that they would do that this morning. I also ask that for those of us who are really struggling with some difficult choices in our life, that you would direct us. Maybe we need to talk to someone. We need to ask a friend, come alongside someone here in the church. I pray that we would do that. Father, the kingdom is worth embracing, and it's worth paying the highest cost to have. And I pray, Father, that we would do that because you're God and we're not. Father, I also pray that you would lead and direct us as we go into this week. Give us the courage to follow you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.